If not, I ask that you pray for me as we turn in our scriptures to the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And both of my children are sick and been running a fever this weekend. And I'm proud of them when they have learned to share and to give unto others, but they have me feeling a little under the weather myself today, so I pray that the Lord would strengthen my voice and that He would help more so for you to hear what the Spirit says to you than what you hear by my voice this morning. It is common in our current society to feel skepticism when we talk about things of faith to other people. So you are out and about in your workplace and in your schools and in different areas, that you'd feel challenged when you are talking about things of the church. People look at it with a uplifted eyebrow and they wonder about the state of the church. And that disappoints me. Although I understand why they do. There are a lot of things that are done today in the name of God that God has nothing to do with. There are a lot of things that are done that are extreme. There are a lot of things that are done that are just carnal. And when those things are stated or believed to be done by the hand or in the name of God, it brings a great difficulty to us who are indeed trying to do the will of the Lord according to His desires. So what we have found is that even when we would find the modern believer, when we find somebody who in our current day and age professes to believe in Christ, that they have a misunderstanding of what it is that they are desiring after. They begin to emphasize the individual above the Lord. They begin to emphasize the creation above the Creator. And they begin to emphasize being spiritual above being part of the body. My friend, I want you to know that we are spiritual today because God's Spirit indwells us. But God's Spirit desires for us to be a part of a body. And we're going to read about that here in this 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians. But in our existing day and age where we find people thinking that they can be just as much spiritual outside of the church as they are inside of the church, we find ourselves up against a battle that is a spiritual warfare. Against wickedness in high places, and against what Satan has convinced people is a faith that is completely individualized. My friends, I want you to know today that if God had desired that our faith would be apart from everybody else's, He could have done that. But God has desired that our faith individually would be put on a candlestick collectively, that we might be able to make more prosperous the gospel of Jesus Christ. He has desired to fit us together, to frame us together and construct us as a body, while yes, being many members, that we would be but one. One body, the church of the Lord Jesus. So the question then is asked, is the church still relevant? Is the church still important? Does the church still have significance? The answer to all three of those questions is yes. The church is relevant. Perhaps more than ever, the church is relevant. The church is important. Again, perhaps more than ever, more important than it has been in times past. My friends, I want you to know it is significant. Your being here today is significant. Your being a part of this body, having been saved by God's grace and baptized according to the command of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, it is significant. There are different institutions and bodies in this world. The United States Senate has dubbed itself the greatest deliberative body in the history of the world. We find associations and we find different clubs that people can be a part of that would somehow be of some significance as they believe themselves to be in the world. But I want you to know, my friend, all of those fail relative to the importance and significance and desire of the Lord's church in this present time. My friend, I want you to know that what we are doing here as God's people that have been united as Faith Church here in Franklin, Indiana, it is significant and it matters and it has a purpose. I want to state this. I'm going to get ahead of myself a little bit, but that's okay. I want you to know this morning the purpose of Faith Church, the purpose of the Lord's Church, the Church of the Living God. It is greater than any one of us. I want you to hear me well when I say that. The purpose of the church is greater than any one of us, me and you. And it is important for us to have our minds called to that remembrance today. So let's look here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 to give you a little bit about what Paul is writing to the church here that is gathered at Corinth. And we have studied this entire book not too long ago on Wednesday nights, but he has been writing to them and he has set in order some things that they were doing wrong. They had corrupted how it was that they were to observe the Lord's Supper. And so in the 11th chapter, he wrote and he set those things in order, at least as much as he could in a letter. Then in the 12th chapter, he begins to talk and to explain how it is that God has given gifts unto his people, how he has given gifts to the church. And in the midst of that, we find this great dialogue, this great explanation, this great expose, if you will, regarding the church. And it's just precious if we'd read it this morning. Let's begin 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We'll begin reading in verse 12. 1 Corinthians 12 and 12 says, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ." Listen to this. "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond, that is, whether we be slaves or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, 'Because I am not the hand, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, 'Because I'm not the eye, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, 'I have no need of thee,' nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble, that is, which seem to be weak, are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts, our unpresentable parts, have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need. But God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism or division in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it." Verse 27, "Now you are the body of Christ, and members in particular." And we will stop there at verse 27 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Here we have in Paul's writing of telling us how we have being made of many members have been made but one body. And he is expressing this in a real way, comparing it to an actual body. And he says, "Can an eye say to the hand that I have no need of you, and so the hand is no longer part of the body? Or can the head say to the feet that I have no need of you, so that the feet are no longer part of the body?" He asks, and he says, that should the ear say, "Because I'm not the eye, shall it say that it is no part of the body?" And we get that way. We're just being honest that as we look to our state in the church and we try to understand how or where it is that we fit in, and we start to become concerned about our role and concerned about our responsibilities, that what happens is we say, "Do I matter?" And what's so interesting about that is that as God looks at His church, as He looks at the bride that He has put together for His Son, He sees that all members are of equal importance.
And I want you to hear that this morning. All members of Faith Church are of equal importance. I don't care if you are the youngest member or you are the oldest member. If you're the member that has been here the longest or if you have just joined in recent months, I want you to know that if God has joined you together with Faith Church, you are of equal importance with every one of us. And we need you. God's church needs you. Because how would we as a body function if we didn't have an eye? Or how would we as a body function if we didn't have our feet? Each one of these is necessary. And you might say, well, but I am so weak. And I want you to know that God says when He sees our weak members, that that would have a greater strength. And when He sees that which is uncomely, it would receive greater honor. You might say, well, Derek, I am just least in the kingdom. I want you to know I have felt that way. But what I have found is that when we find ourselves to be but least in the kingdom, God is doing some of the most important work through us. You might say, well, Derek, I feel like I just have such a small role. I used to be able to go out and do different things and go and visit, but now it seems that because of my health, because of my weakness or my feebleness or whatever it may be, I just feel like I don't matter. And maybe people have forgotten me. I want you to know, my friend, what God has to do through you, it matters. And it is of great importance to His body, because, my friends, this body has a great charge to it and a great purpose to it that we're going to get to in a little while. But I want to begin by telling you today, church, whether you feel that you are least, or you are the most weak, or you're the most feeble, or whether you think that you are some hotshot amongst the church, we are of equal importance before the Lord. And it is good for us to hear that. I sometimes think about Brother John and Sister Bernice, and I was down visiting with them last Sunday, and I can tell that they're really getting stir crazy, because Sister Bernice was talking about how she's looking for a car that she can drive. She said if Brother John can't get healthy that he can be able to drive, that she'll just do it. She wants to be here. They still feel a longing towards the Lord's church. And I know sometimes they have to feel lonely and forgotten about. But I want you to know, the Lord did more through them for my spirituality in 2.5 hours last week than He has done through others over the course of months. Because God can use individuals that might seem the most weak and the most feeble, and He can use them for His glory and for His honor in ways that exceed even our greatest thoughts and ideas. My friends, I want you to know God loves you, and He has set you on His candlestick for His honor and for His glory. So however it is that He is desiring to use you, follow after His will and be used of Him for His honor and for His glory. My friends, and it will glorify and bring pleasure unto the Lord. And we're going to talk about a lot of these things today. But as we do so, I want to first look at the diversity that is in the Lord's church. I have said before that there are times where we come together where it seems that outside of the fact that we are all facing the same direction, that we hold nothing in common. That there are different interests and different hobbies and different backgrounds and different socioeconomic positions and all these differences amongst us. Yet somehow or another, God has joined us together and He has fit us together. And it is in a way and in a reason that would not make sense to the rest of the world, but for the Lord has been put together for His purpose that He is seeking to carry out amongst us. Paul saw this. He told the Corinthians, he said, whether it be somebody that is a bondman, somebody that is a slave, or somebody that is free, whether it be somebody that is a Jew or somebody that is a Gentile, different ethnic backgrounds, when they are fit by the Lord into His church, they are placed together at unity, that we being diverse might find ourselves united in the purpose of the Lord's church. I have a deep desire, and some of you aren't going to like this, but I have a deep desire that the Lord would bring us an abundance of diversity as God's people. That ethnically, we would not all be of similar backgrounds. I look around today and I see nothing but white faces. I would love to see the Lord bring about a change in His church where we find ourselves to be of many different heritages and very many different backgrounds culturally, ethnically, nationally. But what God would do is join us together that the purpose of the church to carry out the work of the Lord Jesus Christ would be effective here in this modern day society. Can you imagine What a good thing that would be. I am grateful for how it is that the Lord has worked and how He has carried about the purpose of Faith Church for all these years, and how we have seen it established by men who moved up of different backgrounds from the South here into Indiana. They settled for their jobs in different regions, but the Lord had a purpose that He was doing through their lives. But that purpose, I am convinced, is not one that has some innate, but instead our purpose of a church that we would carry on until the day of His coming. So if that be the purpose, then what I would really desire that the Lord would bless us with is to continue to bring about the people and the members of the body that are effective until that day. Now, what does that mean? I'm going to get into this a little bit. I didn't expect to. But if you look around us, we see a society that is changing. We see a society that is changing in what it accepts. We see a society that is changing in what it looks like. And if I'm being honest, it brings a lot of us fear. It frightens us to see those things. But I want you to know that when I spoke earlier as to whether or not the church is still relevant, in a changing society, the church is more relevant than ever. The reason why is that God has called His people to be the salt of the earth. We are that thing that brings about a preserving nature to truth. We are the ones that bring about that there, while the rest of the world might find a change in its fabric and a change of its ideas and its beliefs, that the church stands steadfast and unmovable on the doctrines of the Lord Jesus. We must, and the Lord will help me here in a couple of weeks, I intend to preach down at Bowling Green about the truth that is steadfast and unmovable in the Lord and our need to buy it and to sell it not, as the proverb writer tells us. Because in a world that is changing, that which is certain in the truths of Christ, it becomes very attractive. But what we must do is that we would see that the truth that we cling to in Jesus Christ dispels fear. Because what happens instead is that our fear against those things that we know are wrong and fly in the face of Scripture, they make us fearful of others altogether. So what happens? I spoke earlier about how when it is that we go about in society, we talk about things of faith, we talk about things of the church, and we're challenged, and we find that there's a lot of skepticism that is carried about with the church. And you know what's happened as a result of it? We've all just shut up. We've been silenced because of the fear of skepticism, because of the fear of being challenged. My friends, I want you to know today that when we stand on the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ, there will be challenges and there will be skepticism. But having done all that we can to stand, we stand therefore on the truth of the Word of God. And yes, the rest of society might change what they think about it, but it does not change the substance of it. And so we keep standing. You know what happens as we keep standing? While all society changes, people start to say, hey, there's something to that bunch. There's something to what they're holding to. There's something to the truth that they're clinging to. And there's a diversity that is found that, yes, both slaves and free men, both Jews and Gentiles, they become attracted to it. And they say, let us come see what this is all about. Let us not be fearful over people that look different just because we're fearful over those things that have challenged and stand in the face of the truths of Scripture. My friend, there is a great opportunity in the world today with people that look different. If we would find the courage to be able to stand upon the truths of the Lord and proclaim it to them. I want to tell you something. Jesus wasn't a 5'10" white guy. He was a Middle Eastern Jewish guy. Probably pretty short. Probably a lot darker complected than I am. You know what he did? He saved a little Midwestern boy on a road between Whiteland, Indiana, and Waverly. He came and he saw the diversity of a soul and he saved it. Let us have hearts that yearn after all the people of the world. I didn't mean to get into all that. But I want you to know the church is diverse. It's diverse in our talents, it's diverse in our skill sets, it's diverse in our backgrounds, it's diverse in our abilities to reach other people.
There's people that can be reached by Faith Church because of the talents of a Sister Becky or of a Brother Nick or of a Sister Kinsey that can't be reached by me or by Brother Gary Allen or by Sister Norma or by others. And then just the same as that, there are people that can be reached by Sister Diane that can't be reached by anyone else. So God brings her into Faith Church and He places her here that she has this vehicle of the gospel that is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ that we would go and we would see carried out before the world the great hope and witness of Christ Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? That blesses me to see how the Lord has shaped and framed us together, Ephesians says, has framed us together. Now, I don't know a whole lot about framing, but I do know that when the framing is off, it's real easy to tell. You ever seen where something's just crooked and it just drives you crazy? My wife was out of town last weekend and I was hanging some stuff up in my office and I was trying to hang it up the best I could, but I obviously couldn't tell very much if I had everything lined up accurately, and so I would get it hung up and I'd step back and it just wouldn't meet my eye, so I would go back and I would try again. And she was in my office yesterday and we were kind of talking about one of the pictures that I hung up and I pointed to the three empty nail holes and I said, those are the three times that I didn't get it right. That fourth one, though, it was right. I want you to know that what God has framed together, He's done it perfectly. I believe that those who the Lord has indeed led to unite with Faith Church, that He has placed you here and He has united here for a great purpose. And it's not some small thing that you would come join some other club because you didn't like your club before. Oh, but instead it's that there is a desire that God has to carry out through this body of people. And He has framed us together for that purpose. Now, I've already talked about this a little bit, but while there is diversity in the Lord's church, there is also a distinction about the Lord's members. The body of Christ and members in particular. Isn't that something that God could care so much about His church, yet care for each individual of that body? Have a great care and affection for each of you. That your distinctions and your uniqueness and how it is that you are bringing about to the world a greater witness of Christ Jesus, that it matters. I just think that's altogether marvelous to think about. That individuals in particular have a great role in the church of the living God. As I have witnessed and I have seen and reviewed and have read about the men who have stood in this place before me, the pastors that have gone before me, the Brother M.B. Hammock, who was the missionary who helped establish the church of the Lord Jesus, and how distinct and purposeful they were for the season of the body. That there was a purpose to their leadership in those moments. And there was a purpose to what was being brought about in Faith Church for that particular time and that particular season. You know what the challenge is then to us as God's people who have been framed together in Faith Church today? It is to seek the Lord and to seek His wisdom and to seek His will for us in this current day, in this current construction of Faith Church as we have been founded today in 2019. How it is that we have been purposed for the season that is in front of us. How it is that we reach lost sinners. How it is that we reach to a community that is in great need of truth. How it is that we establish and encourage and edify one another. We must seek the counsel of the Lord and His wisdom and be led by the Spirit of God to understand how we as distinct members carry out the purpose of the church that He has for us right now. My friends, the Lord has a purpose for Faith Church right now. Today, He has a purpose for Faith Church. That's wonderful to me. That God has brought us into a place that He has purposed for His divine desire. And that we have the responsibility of carrying it out. Now, for us to seek those things out, we as members of the body must recognize the importance of every one of us. He told the Corinthian church here in verse 25, he said that there should be no schism in the body. That there'd be no division amongst us. one of the things that concerns me more deeply than anything else is whether or not we as a church are inwardly focused or outwardly focused. You know what happens when we turn our focus inward? We start to see all the uncomely parts. We start to see all the weaknesses. We start to see all the things that we think just aren't quite right. And we say, well, you know, if that was just a little bit different, or if that knee would just work a little bit differently than it's done all this time, we'd be better off. And so what happens is we start spending all of our time trying to fix what's internal. Meanwhile, the purpose of the Lord's church is external. And all the while, we're ignoring that, and we're focused only on the things that are internal, we start to divide ourselves to death. You ever heard of somebody worrying themselves to death? That's a true thing. They get so focused on the internal weights of matters, their heart becomes so stressed and so impacted that it eventually kills them. When we turn our focus inwardly, that's what starts to take place. My friends, our outward focus cures our inward inabilities. Because what happens is we start to strengthen each part of the body. You know what I have found about the need to exercise? It requires me to get up and do something. I can't sit there and think about how out of shape I am and somehow get in shape. I can't sit there and think about how much more I like for my muscles to be bigger and never pick up a weight. If we're going to be able to accomplish the health of the body, then we as a body must be purposeful and going about and doing the work that the Lord has given us to do. You see, that is when the body of the Lord's church is found to be most healthy. Now, I know that the Lord has blessed us with a wonderful facility here, and I'm just going to go ahead and say this. The Lord has blessed us with a wonderful facility here for us to worship in, and the men and women, the brothers and sisters that have come before us, for many generations before us, have worked hard to pay it off and to see that we're left with this place that we can come in and worship. And it's good for us to make sure that we take care of this place, but I want you to know, my friends, there's a point in which we get too focused on a building. And I'm going to say this as your pastor, I'm worried that we're pretty close to that point. There's a lot of things we can do, and we can keep putting coats of paint on stuff, but my friends, it makes no difference if lost souls aren't being saved. There has never been a lost soul saved by a coat of paint. Our heart's desire and earnestness should be that we would go into those that are lost, and that we would witness to them of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we would proclaim the gospel, that they might hear that the work of the Lord and the Spirit of God to convict them would draw them unto Himself, and that they might miraculously then be saved. You see that? I desire that people would come in and say, what a beautiful facility, that's great. Oh, but I'd rather instead of they leave, they say, I've been changed by being here today. Oh, may the Lord help our hearts to be focused on those things that are much greater than ourselves. And so let's think about this then. I'll try to hurry. What is the great purpose of the church? The first and great purpose of the church is to glorify God through His Son Jesus. That is the first and foremost purpose of the Lord's church. He has assembled us together that He might receive glory through us. That is why we desire to go and spread missions in various places. Is that where worship is not found today, that there would be worship that would be found in far countries and in places where currently God is never spoken nor mentioned. And in doing so, when we come together and we proclaim and we uplift the name of Jesus, what takes place is He begins to be exalted. And as He is exalted and as He is lifted high, and there's greater and truer and more glorious witness of Jesus, lost souls begin to see Him clearer and clearer. And God begins to open their hearts that they would see the separation between themselves and between an almighty God, and that Jesus today is the only one that they can place their faith
and trusting to be reconciled unto God. And so as Jesus is glorified as God, He receives glory and honor through His Son, Jesus, while souls are saved. You see that? Our great purpose is the glory of God. When we gather each Sunday, when we gather each Sunday night, when we gather each Wednesday, each time the church doors are open and we are gathering ourselves together, it is not that we merely come together and enjoy one another's company, but that God would receive glory. God receives glory in a Wednesday night Bible study. As He sees His people earnestly desiring to know of truer and greater depths of His Word. God receives glory in Sunday school when His people come together, little children come in, and they begin to learn about the great things of God. Oh, that every once in a while they get up and they present those things to us through a song or through some memory verse. And God's glorified even by these mouths of babes. My friends, I want you to know God receives glory from His church. There is a part of that. That's the first and foremost purpose. But as that takes place, there is another many things that are purposes of their own that contribute to that great purpose. And I want to talk about those a little bit as well. We have the purpose to edify one another. Now, edify is one of those biblical words that we don't necessarily use as much in just our modern day talk. I suppose the only times I ever use it is when I'm talking about things that have to do with the Lord or things that have to do with the church. But to edify means to build up. We're strengthening and building up one another. And it is in this way that Paul told the Corinthian church that whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. There was a race car driver back in the fall, and he was in a serious accident in his race car and ended up where he was just about completely paralyzed from his neck down, from his waist down. And he's been rehabilitating and working to try to get strength back. His mind is still good, but his body is weak. His members are suffering. And so he's working individually to strengthen all of them. For when one part of his body suffered, all of it did. So it is in the Lord's church that when one of our parts suffers, when one of our members suffer, all of us do. So we're called in to edify one another and to build one another up. And I want to talk about this for a minute. And I'm trying to make this as practical today as the Lord will allow me to do. There are times, whether by where we are in life, where we are in our age group or our interests, where even while it is that we are part of the body, we seem very isolated. Maybe it's just because we've found ourselves to be real cold and indifferent, and while the church keeps carrying on, we feel like we're just being left by the wayside. My friend, it's not good. You can drag a leg and get on a little bit, but you're not going to be as good as you would be if you would actually take a minute to fix it and keep going. There are times when people move in and out of the church, or they die and they go on to be with the Lord, and as a result, we're left to feel this hole. And for some of us, it's more impactful than it is others, because those are the people we are closest to in the church. It is needful then that we as God's people step in and fill those gaps. And we reach out to our brothers and sisters who are feeling a lack of connection with God's people. It is not good for us to sit back instead and say, well, it's their fault. They're never here. There may be a truth to that. We're going to talk about assembling ourselves together here in just a minute. But I want you to know, my friend, Jesus told a parable one time of a shepherd that would leave 99 and go find the one. And when He saved you, that's what He did. So we provide a great witness of Christ when we do the same. Now when there's one that is cold and indifferent, they feel disconnected and alone, it's real easy to climb up on a high horse and say, well, they're just not getting it. My friends, I want you to know that God has placed them in His body. And they are of equal importance to every one of us. So when it is that we get that attitude about us, we are blaspheming against the body of Christ. And I pray that God would have mercy upon us and correct our hearts. That instead that we would see that that one that is out and they have found themselves to be frail, they have found themselves to be weak, that we would go to them and we would strengthen them. Now I want to be honest for a second. This is a lesson that I didn't learn real well until I was a pastor. And if you feel this way about anyone, just know that I love you. But there are some people of the church that are really easy to pastor. There are some people of the church that are much more difficult to pastor and require a lot more time. That's okay. You know why? Because God called me to pastor all of Faith Church, not just those that are easiest to pastor. And you know what? There's something about the nature of sheep, like the nature of all livestock, that sometimes sheep start to stink. And I heard somebody preach one time about pastors. They said, if you didn't like the smell of sheep, you shouldn't have been a pastor. There's truth to that. But I want you to know that we are all sheep, myself included, because I'm only an under-shepherd. I serve a great shepherd. And I, just like the rest of you, I'm in need of that great shepherd to lead me and to guide me. That when it is that I have found myself lost in some corner of the pasture, and the wolves are all around me, and they are snarling, and they are snaring, and they desire to overcome me, I need that shepherd to come and to carry me back into the fold. And here's the thing. The work of the Lord is not limited just to the pastor in this way. Oh, but instead each of us have the ability to go out to that little lamb and to carry them back into the fold. In fact, I'd go so far to say that some of you are much better suited to do that because of your relationships, because of your backgrounds, because of your histories, than perhaps even the pastor. Let us not be so indifferent towards those that are in need of being reached, that are members of our body. Let us edify one another. Now, I talked about assembling ourselves together, and I need to talk about that for a moment. But I want to talk about it in the context of the Hebrew writer talks about it. He told us to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but instead that we would be gathered together for encouraging. That we'd be gathered together for encouraging. Some people believe that they can be just as much faithful to Christ sitting at home as they can in the church. I want you to know that it's a lie from the pits of hell, and it flies in the face of God-inspired Scripture. You will not be closer to the Lord apart from the church. Instead, we have been put together and framed together. I want to say this. If you've been saved by God's grace and you've been putting off your baptism, you've been putting off uniting with Faith Church, listen to me. You need to be baptized. That is the right obedience of the Lord. But as we see then that we would find ourselves to assemble together for encouragement, the need and emphasis is that our assembling would be purposeful. There are some times where the men get together and we have a lot of fun and we cut up and we goof off and we just enjoy one another's company. But you know what happens? I leave there encouraged. And that's glorifying to the body of the Lord, and it glorifies the head, Christ Jesus, and God receives the glory as a result. You see that? Yes, it may seem sometimes that our fellowship just falls back to places of enjoyment. But I want you to know there are times where God's people find recreation because it helps to recreate us in the bonds of peace and of love. Isn't that wonderful to have those joys? The psalmist said this. He said, how good it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. My friends, it's good for us to have those bonds of encouragement. And you know what's inevitable when God's people come together in that way? That person that's feeling weak and indifferent, even if they don't ever speak up, it becomes evident to everyone else. Suddenly we say, that one needs our strength. Let's go talk to them and help them and rally around them and support them and strengthen our brother.
Isn't that what Christ told Peter? If Peter had failed Christ, or was going to fail Christ, Jesus knew this by His foreknowledge. And He said, that told Peter, said, Satan desires to sift you like wheat. Satan desires to crush you. And he said, but when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. We have been called to strengthen our brothers and our sisters. And sometimes a cry goes out from our hearts and we say, am I my brother's keeper? And the patriarchs of the Scriptures ring out in our hearts and they say, yes, yes we are. That we would help and we would lend a hand in the great time of need of our brothers and our sisters. Some of you right now have felt a tinge in your mind to call somebody, to reach out to somebody, and you put it off, and you put it off, and you put it off. I ask you today to stop putting it off. Dial their number. Send them a letter. Go by and visit, better yet. But reach out to them. I have no problem confessing my faults to you. I've been meaning for a long time to reach out to Brother and Sister Thompson, and had wanted to. Last Sunday, I thought, well, I could just call them. I'm awfully tired, and I had a lot that I had to do this week, and I'm sure they'd be grateful if I just called. They probably would have been. But you know what was better? Was sitting in their home for a couple of hours, just enjoying company with a brother and a sister, sharing God's love, feeling His presence, knowing that God honors His promise that He will never leave us nor forsake us. For you see, I could fulfill an obligation by picking up a phone. Or God could do a work in my heart at the same time that He's using me to do a work in someone else's. What it is that just as we were singing today, that we'd go that extra mile. That's what He called us to do. When Jesus was presenting His great Sermon on the Mount, He told us as disciples that if somebody compels us to go a mile with them, that we would go with them twain. You ever heard the phrase, go an extra mile? That's a scriptural precedent. That's a scriptural practice that we as God's church should exercise more than anyone else. That we would go the extra mile on behalf of the honor and glory of the Lord. I want to say this too. In that great Sermon on the Mount in the 5th chapter of the book of Matthew, as Jesus is giving the Beatitudes or the characteristics that are necessary or identifying of His disciples, He says this about one of those characteristics. He says, blessed are the peacemakers, because they shall be called the children of God. That is what the church does, as we go about and we promote peace. My friends, I want you to know one of the greatest weights that I have on my shoulders as a pastor is to ensure that peace permeates throughout the body of Jesus Christ. That there be peace amongst God's people. That should be a desire that permeates every one of us. Because the call to be peacemakers wasn't given to pastors. It was given to the church. It was given to the church. Let me hurry. I've been preaching longer than I ever intended today. So we've seen this purpose of unity. I've already spoke about this, and I spoke about this even before I started preaching. But most of all, the church has been giving a direct commission, an express commission, a commission that was given by Jesus Christ Himself. In the 28th chapter of the book of Matthew, we see Matthew recording this as Jesus was about to ascend up into His Father's right hand as He was preparing to ascend back to heaven. He told His church this. He said, all power is given Me in heaven and in earth. Did you hear that? Christ has all power. God has given him all authority. Yes, authority over even his body. I want to ask you a question today. How are you breathing? How is your heart beating? How are your eyes blinking? All of these things that are going on right now in your body that you're not doing on purpose whatsoever, but they're being done by the power and authority of your mind over your body. You get that? My mind is causing my lungs to breathe and to breathe in and out air, and is causing my heart to beat and is causing my eyes to blink, and there is not a single thing that I am thinking about that is causing it to do that. Such it is of the power and authority over the church is the head, Jesus Christ. And He is the one that gives us our heartbeat. He is the one that gives us an ability to have compassion and affection. He is the one who gives us the ability to edify and to build one another up. And we are able to do that because He is the one who gives life. You see that? He is the one who gives life. If we look back to the 1 Corinthians chapter 12, that's how Paul began this great exposition. He said in verse 13, he said, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit." You see that? All of this that is taking place as the Lord's church is done by the authority and power of the Lord Jesus. My friend, I want you to know, people ask, where's the power gone with the church? My friends, I want you to know the power still rests with the Lord Jesus. And He is still the one who has authority over His body. And so if our body would be made in subjection to the Lord Jesus, behold, we would find that same power would be with us. You see that? Paul was talking about his physical body one time. And he was talking about bringing his body under subjection, that he would control the flesh against sin. My friends, I want you to know today, the body of the Lord's church must be brought under subjection of the power and authority of the Lord Jesus. We studied a couple of summers ago as we went through that book, I Am a Church Member. I want you to know that just as the purpose of the church is greater than you, the mission then and the power and the authority of the Lord Jesus is greater than your preferences. I want to say it this way. This is going to just be harsh, but I'm going to say it. It's greater than what you think about it. You might say, well, I think that that church is just doing the wrong thing. I pray that the Lord would give us the mind of Christ, that we would see what He is doing in His church, and that our will would be replaced with His. And that what we desire to see brought about in the Lord's church would be the things that our head, the power and authority of Jesus Christ, would be desiring to bring about. I pray the Lord's church, I pray that Faith Church prospers, not because of the great ideas of its people, but because of the power and the authority of our head, the Lord Jesus. There are a lot of churches today that believe themselves to be prosperous, because they're increasing in number and increasing in stature because of the wills of their people. My friends, I am much more concerned about increasing in stature according to the power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit of the Lord. I believe that is far greater. That is far greater. And back to our express mission. He said on this basis, on His authority and on the power that has been given unto the Lord Jesus, He commissioned His church and He said to go. He said, go into all the world. And He said, teach them. Teach them what? The gospel. That we would serve and proclaim the gospel of Jesus. I've heard preachers put it this way before. God could have desired to paint the gospel of Jesus Christ upon the blue sky, that all the world could see it. But instead, He chose that the gospel would be preached and carried forth by His church. It is His church that has been commissioned with the gospel. It is the church then that has the responsibility of seeing that every ear would hear of the greatness of the Lord Jesus and of His power to redeem. There are many today, and I'm going to upset people when I say this. Maybe I shouldn't say it. Let me just say this. The power of the gospel to save is found in the Lord's church. The power of the gospel to save is found in the Lord's church. And anything that you would do to hinder the power that the Lord's church has with the Lord, with the Spirit of God, I pray that you would find repentance and that you would find yourself to be submissive unto the will of the Lord and submissive unto His body, that we might be able to be found great with the power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit, that lost souls would be saved. So He said, go and preach. And then He said to baptize in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Ghost. My friends, I want you to know that the authority to baptize has been given to the Lord's church and the Lord's church alone. There has been no other power given to anyone else to baptize except to the church. And that authority rests with His body. So we've been commanded to baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost. And then He said, and to keep teaching them. Teaching them what? To the things that I've taught you. We're still doing that. The message and the substance of the doctrines of the Lord's church remain the same today as they were when the Lord Himself was with His church, physically manifested in the flesh before them, teaching and declaring unto them the doctrines of the Father through the name of Jesus. And we still hold to that this very day. My friends, we have not been given an authority to teach anything else. Did you hear me? We've not been given an authority to teach anything else but what Jesus Himself has taught. We'd be good to remember that. There's a lot of thoughts in society today about political ideologies and all this kind of stuff. My friend, I pray that as long as the Lord would help me, you would not hear me teaching on that kind of stuff. You know why? I don't have authority to do it. I have opinions. If you're interested in them, I'll tell you all about them, but not from up here. Not when I'm proclaiming the Word of God. Because I've not been given the authority to proclaim my opinions. I've been given the authority to declare the truth of the Lord's Scriptures. You see that? That's what the church has been given, is the authority to declare the truths of His Scriptures. So we've been given this great mission, this great explicit purpose. As I close today, as I began, and what I really want you to leave here knowing is that the purpose of the Lord's church is greater than you. And I don't mean that to belittle you, because it's greater than me too. I am humbled that the Lord has placed me to be a part of His church. I count myself blessed to be placed with Faith Church in particular. I love you guys. I love each of you, even the ones that you think, well, you never show it to me. Well, shame on me for not, but I want you to know I do. Jesus said this. What was Jesus, if not somewhere else in Scripture? So somewhere else in Scripture said this about Jesus. He said, cast your cares upon Him, because He loves you. The great witness of the church is when we cast our cares upon each other and are made like unto Christ, when we bear those cares with one another, because we love each other. The King James put it this way. It says that we would have bowels of mercies, tender affections from the depths of our heart, that would be carried out for one another, according to the great love that God has shown to us in Christ Jesus. We sang that song earlier, oh, how I love Jesus. I heard a preacher say one time that he had a hard time singing that, and instead he preferred to sing, oh, how Jesus loves me. Oh, my friends, I want you to know today the capacity that I have to love you, the capacity that the church has to love one another, is because Jesus first loved us. So let us show to the world Christ Jesus by loving one another, by loving lost sinners, by desiring after them and caring for one another with a tender affection. And in so doing, demonstrating the great mercies and grace of Christ Jesus to save that which is lost. I thank you for listening to me. I pray that God will bless you,
I pray that God would help us as a church. I want to say this. If you have something against the church, you have something in your heart against your brother or against your sister, get that made right. May you find repentance for your sins. May you find reconciliation with your brothers and your sisters. May they find repentance for their sins. Let us today come together in great unity in the spirits and the bonds of Jesus Christ, that we might declare unto the Lord, we are one body, yes, with many members, but we are one body, united by the Spirit of an Almighty God for the glory of Christ Jesus our Lord. May today our hearts be united. May we come together in humility before one another, just as Jesus did before His Father, that He would receive glory. I'm really done this time. Something on your heart.